And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is March 23rd, 2024. And we do welcome you, and I'll bring the men on here in just a minute. We've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
You're now unmuted.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And I don't know, it looks like we lost Josh. Good morning, Josh. Are you there, Josh? I think we lost him. Tim, we'll ask you to go ahead and start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
All right. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity and another day to serve you, to shine forth for your plans and for your purposes. Lord, we pray that you would give us that opportunity. Lord, we thank you for it. We pray that you would protect our families and the people that we serve and we care for. And Lord, that you would watch over and remember mercy and grace and kindness towards your people in the midst of your anger against your enemies, Lord. And that you would deliver your full measure of retribution and justice to those who have mocked and defamed the name of Jesus Christ and have despised the ways of God Almighty. Lord, I just pray that you help us this day to be a light in a dark land, Lord, to be a help to the weary, that we might lift people up, and that through our words, through your message, Lord, that they might receive food that would enable them to continue on their journey and on their path upward and inward to the kingdom of God. We just thank you for it. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name, believing that they will be accomplished by the power of his blood and his sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim. Well, there is definitely a lot of stuff going on, and one of the things that we've been talking quite a bit about recently, and it's as big of a deal as it is, it's interesting on how there's very few people that know anything about it, and that's this eclipse that's coming through. You talk to people, and it just doesn't seem like it's getting any. I mean, it's getting some attention in some circles, but it's stuff that you have to look for to be able to find it. And you know, there's a couple things, and I want to go over just some of the stuff in basically points in review. As you know, basically it's you know, the people that are talking about it, it's like X marks the spot. But we had this, as we know, there's signs in the heavens. We believe that. The scripture talks about it. This upcoming eclipse, its name is Nineveh. The last eclipse that we had in 2017, solar eclipse went over, called Salem. And basically, it was in 2017, the eclipse, it went over Salem, Oregon, Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, Salem, South Carolina. And people are saying that between the last eclipse, there was 7 years. It was August 21st, 2017 to April 8th, 2024 is when the next eclipse is going to pass over. And that's 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days. So we have had two leap years, so that makes it 666. The eclipse will cover every state that has a city called Nineveh. Which, what does Nineveh, and what does it mean? And there's a lot of people that are saying the end, and calling it the end. And you know, there's a lot of ways that you can look at it. You know, I believe that Nineveh was the city that Jonah visited, but I think it is repentance, and that's what keeps coming to my mind every time I look at this. It's like repentance, and that's just something that I believe that it is. It's something that we need. It's something that we're supposed to that we need to have in this nation. April 8th, 1024 to May 18th, 2024, the day before the Pentecost, equals 40 days. On March 25th, 2024, is the lunar eclipse. Lunar means the fall is Israel. Wait, it gets better. Two eclipses during the Revolutionary War, three eclipses during the Civil War, two eclipses during the Vietnam War, all total eclipses. The 2017 eclipse is the only one to ever just stay inside the United States. And I didn't know that. That was something else that was interesting. Easter falls this year in March and Passover in April. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn the people to repent and that they were given 40 days. Jonah did not want to do that. He ran to the mountains thinking the people would be at the mercy of God and perish. The people repented. If you still think all that stuff, school closings, National Guard being called out, is because of traffic, that if that helps you sleep better, then okay. The 2024 eclipse also passes over the Ark in Kentucky and the city of Rapture in Indiana. Solar eclipse means judgment of a nation. God is giving us his last warning. Lunar means the fall is Israel. April 8th is the same day Moses' tabernacle was destroyed by the Philistines. And I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just reading what somebody shared with me. In 2017, after the solar eclipse, August 2017, Category 4 hurricane hit Houston. After every eclipse, there has been a natural disaster. Each eclipse has been during a time of war, whether it was the beginning of or the ending of a war. And that, I believe that's true as well. But really interesting things that I really believe that people need to pay attention to, but I believe that that message is, and what people need to be doing is repent.
Amen. I think that I think we're seeing it's an opportunity, and I believe you brought it out one other time, the verse in Matthew that says that you know, the generations are looking for a sign, and we know that in Luke 21:25, God says he's going to put signs in the heavens, in the sun and in the stars, you know, prior to his return. It doesn't say what day it's going to be, or I don't. With God, we know that time is not as linear as it is with us, but when we see these things come on, it's like, get ready. You better be repented up. And the sign of Jonah that was given was supposedly an eclipse. And also Jonah went around and told those people in Nineveh to repent. You know, there were so many days and judgment was, and they did repent, and God spared them. But I think that in this case, it's a warning and a warning and you can repent or turn, not burn. And for the people who are serving God already, it's your opportunity to make sure your lamp's trimmed and your oil's in your lamp and you're good. And I don't know what's coming or how it happens. God's got it all in control. He's going to take care of it all. There's also a big planetary alignment up on April 8th that comes in that. And it's one of those planetary alignments, and there's several planetary conjunctions that are in the heaven that the last time they happened was not sure right now. It was either at time of Christ's birth or at the time of his death, but it was one or the other. And it's going to happen again over this eclipse during this time frame, and they don't see it mathematically ever happening again, which is kind of a unique scenario. So, you know, there's the more you look into this, the more this is a truly unique situation here that we haven't seen before, or, you know, that God set up, I think.
Well, you couldn't make this happen. I mean, there's so many coincidences. Well, I don't even believe in coincidences, but there's so many things that God set into place such a long time ago, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, how long has this been set to take place? I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, started hearing about it over the last, you know, several months. But, I mean, you could take all the scientists and across the world, and you could and try to draw this out, and you could not make it happen. I mean, it's something that God put into play a long time ago, And it's happening in our lifetime, and you know, we're going to get to experience it. And you know, I really think that it, you know, with everything that we see, everything from, you know, our government and, you know, this you know, invasion crisis and everything, I believe that there are so many things that are playing into it, and that, yeah, it is, we're going to have something, we're going to have some completely life-changing events take place that we're going to get to experience or see that are going to happen across this nation. And I believe that this is, we're in need of change in this nation. I believe that we're going to see something, and I'm not sure exactly how it's going to play out, but I believe that there is something coming, and that that things a year from now are not going to be like they are today.
Amen. Well, and I think also that, you know, if somebody has hope, you know, and someone has depression, I mean, it's kind of like flip side of that coin you talk about. And I think this should make Christians and God's people, this should give us hope. I think that's what's coming. It's not a, I was talking to somebody there the other day about it, and they were like, yeah, I'm just really worried about it. I'm just really afraid of what's coming. And I was like, you know, buddy, 365 times in the Bible it says fear not. That's one for every day of the year. You know, I can't see anything in it, but God's got hope. He's got a day of hope for us every day. Tells us
well, and the thing is the righteous don't need to fear anything. It's the wicked that need to be fearing what's going to come, what's going to happen.
Amen.
It does take a little practice to learn to fear not, though. I mean, you don't just get over it. There's so many things around us that cause fear, but when you guys have to eliminate that, you know, that's what I've had to do, is just eliminate that source of it, and just, it's the gospel, it's the good news, and we got to just stand on that. It's way bigger than us, and it's humbling, actually.
It is.
Amen.
We got this.
You know, I can't help but think Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." And we stand with that. You know, Tim, you and Paul both. You know, we are not to fear. These are not fearful times. These are the times that the glory of God is revealed, and it's a good time for His people.
Well, and I think it was the Dragon Slayer said, we need national repentance. You know, we have all basically repented some time ago, but we need national repentance where everybody humbles themselves. And, well, it's going to happen one way or the other. So God has a way of getting things done.
That's right.
There's a comet that's coming around. It comes through every 71 years, and it is supposed to be visible during this eclipse on April 8th. And it's got a name, PS80 Barnes and Noble something. You know, whoever spotted it named it first, but they call it the Devil Comet because it like off gases and. They say that when you look at it, it looks like it's got horns coming off of it. And it's nicknamed the Devil Comet that'll be visible during this eclipse. And, you know, like you said, Jason, you can't make this stuff up. So many people just, they don't even want to hear it. They're like, yeah, whatever. But, Paul, you've been mentioning, you know, God made the sun for signs. That's one of the things the sun is there for, and its signs, and it is, as you said, I firmly believe, and that's what I tell people. It's a sign for repentance. And isn't that the gospel story? I mean, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the story is repent or perish, and it hasn't changed from the time of Nineveh, and it's being played out and spoken out again in these events today in this new JERUSALEM. And that's what I try to tell people.
Yeah, we
got speaking loud and clear. You got ears to hear.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk about was this. I don't know if anybody saw the videos of the 300. I guess it was mostly Venezuelans that tried to come off across the U.S. border this week. There was a. It started off as a rumor that they said that at noon, I think, I can't remember what day it was supposed to be, but there was the rumor down in south of the border was at noon that the border was just going to be open and they were going to let them walk across the bridge. And it was mostly Venezuelans that gathered down there and were waiting, and they got frustrated and they got tired of waiting, so they just decided that they were going to basically storm the gates and come across the border. And they were detained. They were supposedly from and I'm not sure the exact details. I've read a lot of reports on it, and not two of them are the same. But one of the ones that came across says, this morning a group of approximately 300 migrants gathered on Juarez, Mexico side of the fence, BSI marker 36, being guarded by Texas National Guard members and U.S. Border Patrol. The crowd became aggressive and began to storm the gate at the border. The group of migrants was subsequently taken into custody by USBP and the Texas National Guard. The El Paso Sector Transportation Unit, TCU, and the El Paso County Sheriff's Department of Operation Stone Garden are assisting with transportation duties within the El Paso Station, AOR. A DPS drone was observed in the area monitoring the location, and local news were also spotted north of BSI 36. All migrants are being transported to the Paso del Norte Processing Center for further processing and disposition. And it is, there's several videos that got out on it, and it was pretty telling. Of course, the leftists and these bleeding heart liberals, they're complaining because there was barbed wire put around them, and there was tear gas used, and there was force used, and why can't we just let them come across the border? But it was, this isn't going around and coming across the fence or coming across the river. This is the main border crossing going from El Paso to Juarez. I've been across that border. It's been years and years ago, but a number of times, and walked across the bridge, pay your 25, 35 cents, go into Juarez and go down to the markets and purchase things and stuff like that. It used to be some place that was, safe to go. You could go across the border and come back, and how things have changed too. Even back then you didn't have to show ID. They'd ask you when you're coming back in, there was a toll booth thing like there, and they'd ask you if you're a U.S. citizen, and if you looked white and you were a U.S. citizen, you just come across the border, and you could go back and forth, freely. It is, which I guess is kind of the way that it is now, but it's things have definitely changed a lot. They say you don't want to cross the border and go into Mexico anywhere down there. It's just it's completely run by cartels. But one of the things is just how bold and brazen they're getting, and how things are escalating and changing. You think about all the gall of storming the gates at a major crossing, just thinking that they're just going to open them up and let them walk through.
It's interesting that down in Haiti, I think it ties together. We've seen how the people in Haiti have overrun. They've overrun the government, the airports, the United States sent a military Marine fast response team down to guard the embassy to make sure that that U.S. personnel were safe. And that's what it looks like. If you've seen some of those videos of the armed gangs in Haiti killing people, burning places, storming the airport, the capital, places like that, it looks very similar to the videos of what's coming out of El Paso. And that's the plan by these that are ungodly. But it's here it is. You know, we had that rancher call, about a month ago that's down there. He said he has, in Texas, said he has to call the drug cartel leader when he wants to move cattle. And that's here in the United States. He said the invasion isn't coming. It's here. It's here. And I think this is just another, it's another sign, like the sign in the heavens, to show people, to wake people up. It's kind of hard to argue these videos. It really is.
You know, I got a cup from McDonald's the other day, and I don't know where it came from, but I got it. I seen it, and the M is turned upside down. It's like a W, and down the side of it, there's Chinese symbols down the side. I don't know what that says, but I don't know. It just kind of set you back that China probably owns McDonald's, too.
Probably. Shouldn't eat at McDonald's. It's not good for you.
That ain't the point, Buckwheat.
That is a secondary lesson, though.
They're both good points.
No, there's, I mean, it's well, and Paul, I know it was a while back, but I think that scripture that you were talking about, and I believe it's Ezekiel 38, is that the one, is it Ezekiel 38? I think it is, where it talks about, you know, you're going to spend 7 months burying the dead.
Yeah, 38, 39, the whole Valley of Dry Bones, that whole story is there.
It's very possible that we're vastly approaching that point.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, it's set up. You know, Abbott's down there guarding the border, and whoever's doing it, and you can blame Biden if you want to, but it's way bigger than that. They're flying him in his back pocket, you know. It's just a mess.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, we got I got a phone line hooked up here, and I think I called in on the bridge on the wrong number. So if you'd like to call in this morning, the number to call in is 970-484-5213. That's 970-484-5213. But you can give us a call. And, Tim, what do you see going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, we've just got a lot of people here that are actually, there's a lot of concern, and we can, I can tell people are starting to feel the pinch, I guess you want to call
this
it.
This is not a valid menu option.
Stuff. I kind of think that we tend to be last to see some of those sort of things around here. People are more insulated from it just because of agrarian lifestyle. And, let's be honest, they're already pretty hard up and broke, so once you get about so far down, you can't get a lot further. But, it's. I think, though, that there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I thought that I just believe that, but we're seeing new ways to work together. We've got new people that are working on new food methods and on new ways to cut the middlemen and the poisons out and seeing a lot of that stuff go on, and I really lifts my spirits to see people out there working together and not expecting some government to, make all the difference for them and help them out. But, you know, the can-do attitude that they're going to take care of it themselves. I seen some, we were talking about some of those things there, about the fact that fire down in Texas may be real or may not be real, it might be pumped up. But I did see some videos go by. I had some sent to me of cattle out there with oil field, with the oil wells in the background and stuff. Things, I mean, critters burned to death. I mean, they were barbecued right there on the pasture. So there was some of that went on. Another thing is as far as the eclipse goes, is the sign of Cetus. I thought that was an interesting note, too. Cetus is the sign of the whale, and that's going to be taking place above or below the sign of Cetus as far as heavenly constellations go, the eclipse. And that whale kind of ties back in with the Nineveh story, too, or fish, or, you know, whatever it was. I mean, but the point is that not a an interesting side note as well? I just thought that I don't like we say all the time, we don't believe in coincidence. God doesn't do coincidences. He's you know, and it occurred to me the other day that a lot of this stuff that we're looking at is we're finding out all this information, and you know, maybe they haven't known this for years and years. Maybe this is all just coming up suddenly, and people are finding this, and God's bringing all these things to light. I mean, you know, a lot of us think, well, we have astronomers out there that, you know, they predict, they do all this stuff and everything else, but that may not be the case here at all. This stuff may be just suddenly showing up, and it's like, oh, wow.
Well, NASA must know it's a big thing, but they're, you know, bringing out the National Guard and all this stuff and telling people to stock up on food and water and whatever, so that they must recognize it as a really big thing. Of course, they never tell us, the general public, but they can't hide it no more, I don't think, you know.
True, too, yeah. Yeah, I think that, and it's interesting to me, I just read yesterday that they're sending... it was like 22 or 20-some National Guards or nuclear. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to find my note on it. It was they were sending out their nuclear response team or environmental response team to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. That they were sending those out along with a whole bunch of state troopers and everything down there. And I thought, well, what's the significance of that? I don't understand. And got to thinking about it, did a little research, and I believe that Broken Bow, Oklahoma is where, if anybody remembers the movie Silkwood, that was a nuclear incident there. And I believe that's where that all went on. But it's interesting that all those things, that they're doing something like that, or that it's that big a deal then, I thought. So, see some of that kind of stuff going too, just for that. And today in history, on a side note, Patrick Henry delivered his speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, 1775.
What day was that?
Today.
Today.
In 1775. Yeah. This day in history. So, interesting, huh?
Very interesting. Yeah, Colorado just these gun laws are just getting out of control too. You know, they passed their which we'll see what happens with it. I mean, they passed something and then sometimes they get they end up getting thrown out. I know that there's already been lawsuits filed against them saying that it's unconstitutional and stuff. And there's you know, a whole slew of organizations that are going you know, after them. But it was the assault weapons ban, and you know. You look at the arguments on this on both sides, and it's just, I mean, it's, you know, any weapon can be used as an assault weapon if you assault somebody with it. I mean, it's just, you know, the insanity of the way that they try to put these things is, you know, just mind-boggling sometimes, and it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I mean, it's just crazy.
That ain't so peculiar that they would do that, but what is peculiar is that the people believe them. I mean, you know, I think there's a huge amount of waking up going on that, hey, this government just ain't working. You know, the Europe, too, where you see those farmers, they drive all these great, big, nice, new, modern tractors, which, how did they get them? The government gave them the money. Now they're rebelling against the very one that gave them that, and it's the people that choose this thing. You know, I've seen this years ago. The government has nothing to give that didn't take for someone else. I've lived in a communist country my whole life. We think we're free. Well, that's just plain silly. Anytime you take government money, you take a hook, because then they start dictating you what to do with it, you know, and they got a memory. They always go back, well, you got this back in 1941, and they use it against you, but you do it to yourself. And we've went a chip horn after other gods as a nation for a long, long time. The farms are being bought up by the corporations because they didn't keep God's law, do the Sabbath and all that stuff, and they're driven from the land. So they went to, in here, they went to General Motors and all the big places that pay big money, and they sold the family heritage. And God's keeping his word, he's driving us from the land, and now we're overrun by the a foreigner, he said that too, that we would be overrun, they'd eat our substance, and here they are, and I bet they're hungry. And we've done it to ourselves, and the Constitution would only work for a godly people. They said that right now. You've got ungodly people standing in that Constitution. Well, you know, you go back up, people want to go back 50 years when it was comfortable. Well, we can't go back. There's nothing to go back to. And it's the wrath of God that's coming upon us, and he will not be mocked. And he's going to be known, and he don't need one of us to help him because he is a jealous God, and but he wants us. So, and that's the good part.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I've seen and I've dealt with and dealing with some of these people that, you know, they want to call them a constitutionalist. They want to get back to the Constitution. Oh, we've got to get back to the Constitution, and they want to get back to, you know, under God's law. But they try to do ungodly acts under even the Constitution or under God's law. And, you know, sometimes I stop and I look at it and I look at these lawsuits where, you know, we're filing a lawsuit against you because we can't find anywhere in God's law where it's okay for an LLC to own a property, or, you know, we're coming against the corporations and this and that. But if you look at what they're trying to do, is they're trying to steal. And they're stealers, and they're killers, and they're destroyers, and they want to do it under God's law, and it's just you know, it's ridiculous. They think that, oh, this is the better way, and this, we're going to have these. I'm a sovereign citizen, and this law does not apply to me. Well, what law does apply to you? Because obviously, you don't think that God's law even applies to you. And there's a lot of people out there that are like that, and you know, they're holding themselves up to be a righteous person. And they're not. I mean, they're disgusting.
Well, you know, I went to a lot of patriot movements in my day, and they didn't want God's law, because I bring up God's law, and they just flat reject it right to your face.
Yep.
And that's the problem. If you're going to fix the Constitution, you got to go back to the Bible law, and right from there, and then the Constitution will work again. But you have ungodly people that aren't worthy of God's blessing, so... It's a mess, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah, that's 1 Peter 2:15-17. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And they're using those people like that, use that liberty, God's liberty, as a cloak for maliciousness to do evil and foul and wrong things. And they defile the memory and the, you know, heritage of the living God. I think that's a dangerous place to be. They're in as much trouble, if not more, because than those people who are evil and wicked who are out there doing it. So, yeah, it's wrong. Very wrong.
Well, you look where Pastor Peters is. The whole family's buried on a hill. They're martyrs. And you got these preachers on TV that take no persecution whatsoever because they don't preach what sin is. They don't teach baptism for the remission of sin. And they don't tell you who the real people of Israel are. And that's the three things. They'll let you talk to your blue in the face until you bring that up, and then the IRS comes down on you like a bomb.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
They have their weapons.
Yeah, but everything they do is imitate God's law and pervert it. It's like the old decon, you know, 97% truth, 3% poison, and that's what those three things are, is poison. if you don't have them. So they, you know, an attorney has no standing in court without a client, which means the people have the power. But they're ignorant, Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. So they go hire a lawyer and go to court. Well, there is absolutely no remedy in court, period.
Yes. Very, very, very interesting. And I think that that's, you know, it ties in with, you know, the series that we've been playing from the LaPorte Church of Christ, Revealing the Man of Sin series. In our last article, The Man of Sin Revealed, it's, you know, it's exposing that, you know, and it's, as we go through that series, it's it was done a number of years ago, but it is, boy, it sure explains and ties a lot of things together that we're seeing happening today.
That meant more to me this time than the time I read it before. It's just like it's coming alive.
It is. That's what happened to me when I read it, too.
No, it's really pretty exciting times if you're on the right side, you know. Just like old Moses standing there at the Red Sea, how many people thought that thing was going to open? He did, but very few others, I doubt, did. So, yeah, but that's the thing, you know, we have that gospel, we believe it, and that's what we have. And if you don't have faith, you ain't don't have anything.
Yeah,
people. A lot of people say they have faith, but they really don't.
Yeah, they were. The Red Sea opened, and I'm sure there was lots of. Well, would you look at that? They don't do that every day. So, and there's, and I think if anything, we've become more jaded as we've got, and I think our technology has brought some of that about to us. I mean, you know, we see things a lot of. Really interesting things now as mundane in today's world, or as commonplace, you know, because it's been explained to us how it works. It's been science. It's been, you know, it's like, well, yeah. And I'm always reminded of Moses when he walked into the Pharaoh, you know, and threw his staff down, and their little scientist geezer wizards, they threw their staff down and it turned into a serpent. Moses was like, oh, so he threw his down and it ate theirs, you know. But I just think that, yeah, it's coming. your explanations are all going to get ate up by God's power. So,
well, the devil has a lot of power. You know, you read the book of Jasher, he had that stream go across Abraham's path when it was going up to. And he just has a whole lot of power that he can do these miracles and stuff, too, as they appear. But he is always an imitator. And then, you know, there'd be a lot of antichrist come and deceive people. But that's why you have to realize, you know, in Matthew 2, it says, when he comes, there's going to be no doubt that it's him. But they always say, you go here, go there, and stuff like that. Well, don't go, because when he comes, there's going to be no mistake about it.
Yeah, one of the other things that was interesting, and it, I mean, and this was goes from north of us, but it was from a Toronto police officer, and the officer suggested that residents leave their car keys by the front door to avoid home invasions, and to basically let criminals steal their vehicles. There was a lot of people that were making fun of it, saying that it never happened, but the Toronto Police Department actually issued a statement last Wednesday confirming that an officer made the remarks at a recent community meeting. And that's what the police officer told him, is leave your car keys next to the front door, so when invaders come into your door, they can grab your keys, steal your car, and leave with it. That'll save you, and that'll protect you, and that'll avoid injuries. And you know, since then, basically, it's been, you know, I mean, people are laughing and mocking it all across the world. But this is you know, is real. And, you know, Canada's facing these immigrants on a scale, you know, that's comparable in a lot of ways to what we're facing here in the United States. And, you know, they're realizing that, hey, you know, these guys are violent. That's what they do. Is, you know, there was the house up in New York that got that the illegals, you know, just basically decided to occupy it. And I can't remember the details on it, but a woman was she was out of town taking care of, you know, of a mother or a family member, and comes back, and all her furniture, everything, her house was left unattended for a short amount of time, and comes back, and it's filled with illegals, and trying to get them out, basically can't do anything about it. And, you know, it took some people who basically they're calling them all kinds of names and vigilantes and this and that, but basically when it came down to it, the people had to take matters into their own hands, and the house was surrounded and basically told leave or else, and they were able to get the house vacated. But you talk about insanity.
Well, I seen the one where they actually arrested the homeowner.
Yes.
These people. You know, the worst thing about leaving that key by your front door, what if they don't want your car? What if they want your potato chips? They're going to come in.
Yeah, or what if they want to kill your children or steal your children or rape your wife or whatever they want to do. I mean, they're stealers, they're killers, they're destroyers.
The whole thing is silly. But, you know, I think back to the 50s and 60s. I don't know when we got a TV, but it was late 50s or somewhere in there. But the big thing was, don't take the law into your own hands. Call Mr. Dillon. And they've pounded that into our heads. Don't take the law into your own hands. Well, you know, that Colt 45 or what it was, what was called a peacekeeper, because everybody had one. Then the people would, you know, it's just exactly backwards what they're trying to tell us. I mean, you know, everything they do is that way.
Yeah, I always like that saying, you know, when you need help in seconds, the cops are hours away. You know, it's like, these people who put their faith and hope in those situations, and like you just said, it usually is a case of they arrest the homeowner. They arrest them. You know, it's like I called you for help and you came and arrested me. I see that, you know, the Bible says that an armed man defends his own house, you know, that's well armed and strong. And I think that a lot of these places like Canada and that, we see that's not so, and it's not so any longer. And you can explain all you want to, but I do appreciate that the fact that being well-armed and everything else may not be the ultimate answer to all the problems, but it certainly gives them pause, and it emboldens the righteous, you know. So, I think that, what's the old saying, luck favors the prepared, and I don't believe in luck, but I'm just saying that, you know, being prepared is not a bad thing, because it does make you bolder, and it does help you out. Especially if you happen to be a little weak in the faith department or something, which we all need practice with, I will grant you.
Yeah, and then we just had this, I don't know, did anybody get any of the points on the this Moscow attack? With I've heard 40 dead, and then I heard more, and then I heard less. But I don't know, the ins and outs of that.
I don't know, I just heard about it too, but that's it.
I guess from what I'm seeing, it's 133 now, is what they're saying. Just from what I have, a mass attack, 133 shot up. A lot of people all across the country are, or across the world are saying that, you know, this is something that could spark World War III, especially with earlier this week and last week with Putin. Saying that, we're going to be playing with our nuclear weapons, and we're getting them out, and, you know, basically we are superior to anybody in the world with nuclear weapons technology.
And my grandfather. I saw one report. They said it was an ISIS-backed, but yeah, who knows? It's certainly developing.
My grandsons don't believe that. They think that we got the best army in the world, but they say they're just flat wrong. I mean, our whole military has been totally destroyed.
Yeah, that's what happens when you let women and queers in the military.
Well, look at the judges. Look at the bits that's picking on Trump, you know. I mean, a black woman judge, well, they don't matter what color they are. Women are not supposed to be an authority. That's simple. And look where they are. They're everywhere. It ain't their problem. It's the men's problem for letting it happen.
Yeah. ISIS taking credit for the Russian attacks, and yeah, interesting. I don't. Tim, what do you?
Well, and I heard north of 100 people in that attack, and I mean that they were still having some of them. Obviously, were in the hospital, so you know we could have more people dying. I know there was a lot of people shot up. It was a music festival of some kind over there, and they just broke in there and shot the place all up. At least that's what I heard or read or seen on. That wasn't the account I read was not a national or, you know, U.S. side news agency. So, they were having, it was a pretty big attack. I mean, they were, and I was trying to think how many people were involved in the attack as far as not being shot at, but doing the shooting. And, but it was a fairly large group and a fairly large attack. And yes, I heard ISIS was taking credit for it too. And it was related to that attack. But, and it was something to do with Israel and Hamas and that kind of stuff. So, but I, you know, I'm kind of a little confused on this, okay? I mean, these kind of things always interest me because they're tying this all up over there. And I did go and read some of the U.S. cited news reports. But if you tie some of that up and look at a few of those things, we're supposedly, as a nation, U.S., is backing, you know, the Israelis through this whole Hamas mess. And as I understand it, why the Russian Federation is pretty much supporting the Palestinians or Hamas. So why would ISIS go over there and attack them if that's the case? You know, and I don't know all the ins and outs. I mean, I'm sure there's levels that I don't even comprehend, but. It does give one pause and make you scratch your head, doesn't it? I mean, as far as some of those things go.
Well, it's total confusion is what it is, because I don't understand exactly what's going on either. Not that I'm anybody, but you know, should think you knew how it was going to win. I don't know how it's going, because, yeah, that's confusion. You know, I see where they were sending 100,000 troops over into that area too, and they said, and the comment was that they're not going to the Ukraine. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I did see it on the news. I just get news off Google or whatever, just go through and pick out some stuff and don't even really read them all. But you know, like Zach was saying, he's kind of don't watch the news or anything, you know, but I get the fruit grower and the vegetable grower just to see what they're up to, and they're always going to develop something like that. They never look at what the problem is, but and what we're talking about now, we're noticing what's going on. But, you know, yeah, it's a lot more peaceful not knowing what's going on sometimes.
Yeah. What is... Yeah, sometimes ignorance is bliss, I guess, at least for a little while.
Yeah, and somebody just sent me a text and said, remember Putin and Russian Spetsnaz drove ISIS out of Syria starting in 2016. I forgot about that. That was that was six, seven years ago.
That's true, yes.
Interesting. Another thing that I wanted to touch on real quick, this is, you know, not related to anything that we've been talking about, but I thought it was interesting, and it was an article entitled "The Bureau of Land Management's Quiet War on Precious Metals." Excuse me. The Bureau of Land Management is a federal agency that controls 245 million acres of land and controls 30% of the country's mineral resources. On the East Coast, it manages little land but manages an enormous share of western states. It owns over two-thirds of Nevada. This gives the federal government enormous sway over the West. Want to go hunting? Want to start a logging company? Want to go hiking? Better make sure it's okay with the federal government first. The BLM does not allow the public and businesses to use some of its land. That's the law. The BLM, and we're not talking about Black Lives Matter either, is supposed to accommodate energy production, outdoor recreation, and conservation. One of the uses that the BLM allows is gold mining. According to the GAO, billions of dollars worth of gold are mined from these lands annually. The status quo is quite favorable for mining of gold and some other precious metals like silver, lithium, and copper because the miners are not required to pay royalties to the federal government, which owns the land and the resources are extracted, from which the lands are extracted. This is in contrast with fossil fuels extraction on public land where energy companies are required to pay royalties. But recent moves by the Biden administration, bureaucrats in charge of BLM, suggest that the administration is taking aim at precious metal production and might cut off the supply of precious metals from precious land. The BLM and the broader Biden administration are going down this in two ways. First, Biden is designating more and more federal land as national monuments. National monuments are kind of halfway between national parks that are set aside for conservation and limited recreational activities such as hiking and the normal federal land management by the BLM, which is generally open to hiking, hunting, sometimes mining, and logging. Every president has the power to declare federal land a national monument under an obscure law from 1906, the Antiquities Act. The Antiquities Act was meant to be used to preserve prehistoric Native American ruins, but as written, allows the president to use it as his discretion. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and people's money are buying up grazing rights and driving people off that had it for years, generations. And BLM ain't nice people.
I like the words in there, the land that they own. They're not being paid royalties on the land
right.
that they own. So it's like, who are they? Why?
I feel the same way when they say, you know, Biden's doing this, Biden's doing that. Biden's not doing anything. I mean, he can't even walk off stage and go the right direction. I mean, he's not the one pulling the strings. We know that, but it's comical. But I mean, you know, under the administration and what they're trying to do, it's just making it very clear that it's they and us.
Yes. Yep. And Christ used those words, I mean, in the Bible, frequently. I think it's interesting that you're talking about precious metals and that the steel in Haiti, that I've been doing a lot of looking into it, and there's some really interesting developments there. Haiti has the second largest deposits of iridium in the world.
Really?
And, they want to mine that iridium. I mean, it's a huge deal. It's billions and billions dollars with iridium there, but the other thing that they have is they're also a jumping off point for international shipping all over the you know world as far as for illegal drugs, weapons, and everything else. And they estimate that annually that port in Haiti puts through illegally $32 billion worth of annually of illegal trade that it looks the other way on to different places. So. Really, if you start adding these things up, it's not a small piece. You know, we kind of
no, it's not.
Some, yeah, you kind of think of it as some backwards little you know, island somewhere that, it, well, we should feel bad for them. Truth of the matter is there's billions and billions, probably trillions of dollars here, swapping hands and moving around while these poor, while the average Joe citizen can barely get enough food to put in his mouth. So, you know, just to throw that out there for something to think about.
Yeah, good information. We are out of time. Closing thoughts, 2 minutes.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, I've said it all.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for being here, and appreciate you taking the time out of your day. Folks, thanks for tuning in this morning, and remember to join us for church from the La Porte Church of Christ tomorrow by going to scriptureforamerica.org.